That was track number 11 from the album Guitarscapes by Jeff Wall from Magnatune.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Bean Knits and Spins, now with sewing, available at knitspinbean.podomatic.com. I am back. My last podcast was available in July, and I stopped due to several reasons, mostly the constant interruptions and other factors like background noise and snoring and just general not having much to say. But I'm back now with things that have been going on for the summer as well as what's going on now. I'm going to start with the latest foray into dyeing fiber. I'm not sure how much I had in terms of weight. I haven't actually measured it, but I had quite a bit. Got to be at least 4 ounces of undyed or ecru merino fiber, 64s. And I decided to dye it what would be orange and brown. I don't know where the colors came into my mind, but I decided I was going to be on a orange and brown kick for the fall. And I got all my fiber and dyes together, and I used Wilton's, the cake icing paste. I used the Wilton's orange and the Wilton's brown. I was going to use black. I mixed all the dyes and noticed that the black looked very green. So I figured I would leave that alone and just go with the orange and brown. For some reason, although the brown looked fairly decent, I'm going to post some pictures on my blog for you to see. The brown looked fairly decent prior to actually setting the dye, but apparently my method just did not work. I probably should have waited until I got around to getting some saran wrap. We don't usually use saran wrap in the house. Saran wrap so that I could lay the wrapping out and put the fiber on, dye it the way I was going to dye it, and then set the dye in a pot over steam. Instead, I just took the pot and put a little bit of water in it, laid out my dye, my fibers, in a Pyrex dish, sprinkled them with the colors that I was using, the brown and the orange, and I used a little medicine dropper, those things you sometimes get with children's syrup from prescriptions. I just used that and sprinkled the colors over variously. And then after I mashed it in and my hands turned orange, I put it in the pot and put a little bit more water in there and set it to, you know, heating up and steaming. That was a bad idea because the orange basically spread out all over the place once the fiber got more wet. And I poured what was left of the brown on there. It just didn't really come out the way that I wanted it to. I probably will have to over dye, but I'm probably going to also have to wait until I get a stronger brown solution. I'm probably going to have to get something specifically designed to dye fiber and not use the Wilton's. I haven't found anything that remotely resembles a dark enough brown in Kool-Aid, which I know will stick better. But, you know, so I'm going to have to go ahead and get some Jacquard or some Procyon or something to get a more distinct brown. It's a nice shade of, like, orangey-orange now, but I wanted the brown in there, you know, intermittently. So that's going to be on hold for a while. Also, I've got some Finn from Misty Mountain Farm by way of Rhinebeck last year. Yes, I still have fiber from last year that I haven't even spun. And so, being that I'm not going this year, hey, I can just pretend that I got it this year, right? I've been spinning up this Finn the last couple of days, and I'm a little disappointed. I got some natural undyed ecru Finn fiber from Misty Mountain Farm booth at Rhinebeck, and I've had no problems with it. But this is dark. This is like the black, or what you would call black or brown color. And I guess they figure that they can hide the poopies and stuff in it more readily if it's a darker color, because I didn't find any in the undyed natural ecru, whatever color you want to call it, white, if you will. I didn't find any poopies in there, but in this stuff, it's, you know, scattered throughout. And I'm constantly picking the stuff out as I spin. It's roving form. It's carded fiber. It's not top. I don't think I'd ever find anything like that in top. If I did, it would be very, very not well prepared, and I would really be complaining and bitching. But I'm not worried too much because it's reacquainting me with the woolen spinning method that I started out with back when I first started using drop spindles. And I borrowed a wheel temporarily until I could get my own. And I was doing most of my wheel spinning with top and getting acquainted with spinning that straight on as opposed to from the fold. You know, it's interesting. When I started spinning on the spindles, I couldn't spin straight on. I couldn't spin top straight on the spindles. It's going up and down the spindles, and gravity just made it slip away. I could never seem to draft properly with the spindles. I would always spin top fiber from, or should I say combed fiber, from the fold with a spindle. I can't seem to spin from the fold on a wheel to save my life. But the troubles that I was having spinning top, the combed fiber, I have gotten so good at that, I had to reacquaint myself with spinning carded fiber. So that's why I took out the fin fiber. It's softer than you would think. When it's spun up, I've got the singles on the bottom now, and when it's spun up, it seems kind of rough while I'm holding it taut, but I'm running my finger across it while it's on the bobbin. And while it could be ultimately softer, as in Angora softer or Cashmere softer or Alpaca softer, and no, those are totally different fibers, and they're destined to be softer, but it's not as rough feeling as it looks. So I'm going with that. And I've also got another bobbin with a little bit of Cotswold curls on them. That stuff does spin up rougher. Or rather, it does feel as rough as it looks. I have some colored Cotswold curls that I need to re-clean. Well, I won't say re-clean, I say clean. I got them from Sheepshed Studio, and the website did say it was not cleaned, so I'm not complaining. It's been an interesting, feat cleaning them and trying to get as much poopy out. And I got the combs earlier this year, the Dutch combs. So I've been slowly combing them out as best as possible to spin them. But right now I've got this natural stuff that Tanya gave me. Thank you, Tanya. And it's a little bit rougher than I anticipated. Maybe washing it, would soften it up a bit. I tend to use, I got a little ball of Eucalan, which it smells nice, but it's not a whole lot for that, for the price. So I just catch a sale at Target or something and get a big bottle of the new Downy Essentials, where you can get lavender and vanilla or roses or orange. I think there's a fourth flavor, scent I should say, but I don't remember what it is. And I use the lavender and vanilla one. And I'm not a lavender fan, but it really does make your clothes smell good. And I kind of use it to soak my fibers in, my singles and stuff, and clean my yarns in. I know. But it's for the size bottle you're getting and the little bit you're using, because it's kind of concentrated, I think it's a better value than Eucalan. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to knock Eucalan. It smells great. And if someone were to give me a bottle for free, I'd use it. I'm not complaining. But for my dollar, I think that just going with commercial fabric softener is better. It definitely kills that wool smell a lot more thoroughly than Eucalan does. Eucalan just sort of scents the wool. I guess it all scents the wool. But this fabric softener stuff really, I think it really does a better job of it. So I've got the Cotswold on the bobbin. I've got some fin going on the wheel right now. That bobbin is actually on the wheel. And I recently finished spinning up some Romney from Spunky Eclectic in the bubblegum colorway. I am not a fan of Romney. I've experienced it twice, but I couldn't resist the colors. So I now know that I have to go back and get fiber of the kind that I like, BFL and such, in that colorway, as opposed to the Romney. Romney I'd never spun before until a couple of months ago. I had some in a different colorway, and it's pretty yarn. It's pretty, but it's just a little bit rougher than I would expect. It's a long staple, though. I'll give it that. I had a lot of fun spinning it, because it's in, top form. Actually, I can't really say if it's top or roving. I can't remember right now. Based on how it was formulated, I would say it was top. But it's still a rougher fiber than I was expecting. And like I said, if I do go back for more that colorway, it will definitely be a different fiber. I'm a BFL and fin freak, I have to admit it. So I prefer those fibers over most. So that's basically what's been going on in the world of spinning. Now on to some knitting. If you've been watching my blog, you would notice that I've been on pretty much of a socks and lace kick lately. And in most cases, combining the two. I've actually completed 2.5 pairs of socks throughout August. The socks that I knit, you know, tend to wind up in the sock drawer and I forget about them. I'm sorry. So one day I will line them all up and take pictures of everything. But I did complete a few pairs of socks. But my main focus right now is the shawls. I don't know what it is, but I just seem to... See, the thing is this. I've always had issues with lace when it comes to lace weight and shawls. I've done a few. I did Icarus. I did Charlotte's Web. And those... Well, the Charlotte's Web is not really complete. It's supposed to have fringe. I can't bring myself to dedicate the time to making fringe. And then what makes it so bad is I've seen solid colored Charlotte Web shawls, and they do look so much better than the ones in the variegated Koigu. I say that, to me it does, because after all the effort I put into knitting the shawl, you can't really see the design because of the colors. Maybe if I use variegated yarns, if I ever did it again, I would use lighter color variegated yarns, but more than likely if I ever did it again, I'd just go solid. Then there's the Icarus, where... That was a real deep foray into lace weight shawls. And I'm working on that again, actually. I'm working on another one in sock weight this time. So far, I've only managed to make it almost through the chart one. And I guess later on this week, I'll actually make it to chart two. But I keep getting sidetracked with the socks. But as I was saying before, I always seem to mess up lace shawls, but it's like an addiction. I can't seem to stop wanting to try making them. My first shawl before having the successes that I've had recently was the flower basket shawl. I cast on for that, and about 10 minutes in, I jacked it up so bad I just gave up and decided that I was going to make my own shawl design. That didn't turn out so well, so I started knitting stuff that people, you know, other people had already done. And so far, it appeared to be so good. You know, a couple of errors you can fix, or most of the time I just say, freak it, and just keep on moving, because nobody can really tell unless you point it out. And actually, I am back on this, you know, self-designed shawl bandwagon right now. Yeah, I want my 15 minutes of fame, that's right, you know. But check out the blog and you'll see Sagittaria, which I think I'll do that again and make it bigger. But I have to admit, the stitch pattern for the main part of the shawl got a little tedious after a while. And so I stopped it short. But now I realize with the size yarn that I was using, I should have kept going. So next time I will. Either that or use a slightly thicker yarn so that I don't have to do so many repeats with the main part of the shawl. I recently got my hand on a copy of Victorian Lace Today, which is just chock full of some of the most beautiful shawls and stoles I have ever seen. And I did a shawl from... Actually, it was supposed to be a stole pattern from there. It's a scarf. But you can make it wider. But since it was my first time knitting something of the fashion where you knit an edging vertically, you know, upwards, and then you pick up stitches along the long edge of it, and that's the starting row for the main part of the shawl or stole or scarf. Knit up from there and then sort of knit on the other edging onto the edge, sort of like added, sort of like an applied or attached rather I-cord. Excuse me, that's my phone. I will be right back. Okay, sorry about that. Strangely enough, I can turn the handset ringer off, but the bass ringer I cannot turn off. I should start doing my podcast around 2 a.m. when no one calls. But usually someone is snoring or wants the air conditioner on, so that's out of the question. So, yeah, I was doing the Victorian Lace Today scarf. And like I said, it's sort of like an applied I-cord where you are working the I-cord and attaching it to the edge by joining one stitch from the edge with the last part of the I-cord. So I'd never really experienced that before, and that was kind of interesting. Then I did the Luna Moth shawl, also known as what I like to call the Lost Caterpillar shawl. What happened with that was that I decided to use up some of the yarns that I've been holding for some time and stashed that I've tried to work with other patterns, and it just never worked out right. I'm talking about the Debbie Bliss wool cotton. I got 12 skeins of that in an olive color when it was 50% off at joann.com. I don't know what I was thinking. Of all the colors that I should have gotten, it would have been something else. I don't know, like I said, what I was thinking about buying 12 of balls of olive. There were other colors, not a whole lot, but other colors I probably would have done better with, I won't say more neutral, because olive's like a neutral color, but yeah. So I was walking down the street one day, coming from the store. I live in New York City. I live in Brooklyn. And it's the kind of neighborhood where you don't see a lot of wildlife that you see on TV shows like, you know, Wild America or what have you on Animal Planet. It's, you know, the stray cat and dog, pigeon and seagull variety. You don't see too many of nature's most intriguing creatures here in the ghetto. And I'm coming up the block and I see this green thing on the ground. Bright green. I'm talking day glow green. And I'm walking by and like in a quick second it looks like it moved. But I'm saying, nah, it didn't move. It's somebody's toy. So I bend over and look at it, and that sucker moves. So I'm like, no, it didn't move. It didn't move. So I took my foot, and I kind of towed it a little bit, and the sucker curled up and rolled over and then kept on moving. I said, it moved and took off. I was like, wait a minute. You don't see stuff like that. He must have been lost. He must have made a wrong turn at Albuquerque or something, because he's totally, you know, in the wrong neighborhood. I just never expected to see anything like that. So I got upstairs and I went online and I Googled big green caterpillar. And sure enough, it came up Luna Moth Caterpillar, which it turned into a beautiful moth. Well, you know, I shouldn't say moth, right? It's a bad word, right? It turns into a beautiful moth, maybe 5 or 6 inches across. That's why the caterpillar was like the size of my middle finger. I'm like, good grief, that thing is big. You know, and I decided to name the shawl because I'd seen the shawl in Ravelry and said, it does kind of look like that moth. So I dubbed mine the Lost Caterpillar Shawl because that poor guy was, you know, he needed directions. You know, he was male because he didn't ask for directions. You know, he had to be male. But sorry, fellas, if you're listening. So I did that. I did Sagittaria. And there are pictures of those on the blog, ladybean73.wordpress.com, along with the Victorian Lace Today scarf number one. It's not the first scarf in the book, but I call it number one because it's the first one I'm going to do. I have recently acquired the book again, temporarily, and I plan on picking another one to work on before I take it back to where it belongs. That's basically what's been going on in terms of shawls. In terms of socks, I just took Hedera off the needles. This is my third Cookie A sock pattern. I kept promising myself after Pomatumus that I would not knit another Cookie A pattern because that sock pattern kicked my ass. But I did Monkey because I kept seeing Monkey everywhere, and it is a pretty pattern. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna try Hedera. I just have to ask, has anyone else noticed that she likes to make you shift your stitches around on the needle so that the pattern lays out right? I guess that's just one of her trademark quirks or something. I'm not complaining. It works when it works. It's just that sometimes I just want to knit the darn thing, and then I have to go rearranging stitches because if not, it just won't work out right. I tried that with Monkey. I just tried to go ahead and do what I wanted to do with it, And I had to rip back because I was like, oh, so that's why it wasn't going to fall right. And the same thing with Adara. You know, I was reading ahead for, you know, where to situate the stitches so that I could do the heel. And the heel flap, I should say. And I was like, why do I need to move the blasted stitches? And then I see why. That twisted stitch that outlines the top of the sock needs to be on both sides for the sock to look the way it does. So I also had to turn back and undo some stitches for that one just to get that to work. Prior to that, I did a bad thing. I bought 4 skeins of Art Yarns Ultramarino 4 in this really banging brownish olive black white colorway. There was a sale going on at the point, I know. And I was able to get 4 skeins basically for the price of 3. So I said, I was only going to get 2. And I said, well, no, what I wanted to do was to knit some knee-length Jaywalker socks. So I said, let me get 3. And the cashier was like, you sure you don't want the 4th one? I'm like, well, the last time I tried to make socks out of Art Yarns Ultramarino 4, I thought I was going to run out of yarn. That was for the Pomatoma socks, actually. But it turned out to work out fine. Because you know what? Let me get the 4 just in case, because these are going to be knit toe-up, and this way I can just keep going till I run out of yarn. So I bought the 4, came home, finally settled down to knitting the socks, and the stitch pattern is okay. It's just that the way the yarn is variegated, it just didn't seem to work right. I know that the yarn's not really designed to stripe, per se, but I figured it would work out that I wouldn't have a whole lot of pooling, and I figured that this was the one sock pattern that would help you avoid pooling, but it just didn't look right, so I ripped it out, and I really feel like the way the yarn is made, the sprunginess of it and the fluffiness of it, it's really only going to work, especially in that colorway, for a stockinette sock, so eventually I'll pick that up for stockinette, because it was breaking my heart as Jaywalkers. And I really like the Jaywalker pattern. I'm going to do something else with Jaywalker. It's just not going to be that sock yarn. So now I have 4 balls of that. And I already know what I'm going to do with 2 of them. So much for that. That's basically what's been going on over the summer with all the socks that I've knit, the shawls that I've done. I'm still working on that second Icarus. And after that, there's no telling what'll happen next. There have been a lot of things going on around lately, like little ones starting school. My last child, actually. So I actually have a little time to myself during the day, which is pretty much when I'm doing this now. So I hope you can bear with me as I go through these changes. I had an interesting situation happen to me the other day. The other day I went out to the park to spin with a friend. Hi, Karen. And took lots of pictures. Came home, went to get the pictures off the camera, and couldn't find my camera cord. So I'm saying my house is haunted. What I really mean sometimes is that little one probably got her hands on it. But she wasn't home the last time I had it. So I don't know. And actually, she wasn't home during the day when it went missing. So I don't know how it got where it was. But I eventually found it. So I'm just going to stick with the idea that the house is haunted, because things happen when no one else is home or no one else is awake. And it's really creepy. So basically, that's what's been going on. I'm going to keep this one short and sweet. If you guys have questions or anything you want me to mention, just drop me a line, ladybean@gmail.com, or leave a comment on the blog, ladybean73.wordpress.com. You can pick up the podcast at knitspinbean.podomatic.com or at iTunes. Just search for Bean Knits and Spins. This used to be Beancast, but apparently there is another Beancast in iTunes, and it's not mine. So don't search for Beancast anymore. It's Bean Knits and Spins. And I thank you for listening. I'm signing out. Till next time.